T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Yes, the Roos, who are in the Andy Katz bracketology. This may be a tough one, though, but they go into Hilton and gave the Cyclones a game in the second half. Got within one at one point in the second half. A late run pushed Iowa State to the win. So maybe the Roos are now a bubble team.
Or maybe a bubble team. But, man, if you win that game up in Ames, Iowa, you can put that on your resume and say, hey, that's a game that we got early on in the season. Kind of a resume padding win for UMKC, or Kansas City, as they're now being called, if they were to go up there and win. But I'm glad they're doing well, man. I'm glad they're in the bubble stuff and in conversation. I think that's the one team, you know, especially in college sports around in these parts, we can get behind. And we've said it for years. And I think Billy Donlin was a really good choice, a really good hire for them over at UMKC. And it's already paying off dividends, as we talked about yesterday. Hey, they're on the 15 line in the Andy Katz NCAA tournament bracket. So congratulations to UMKC. But hopefully they can find some wins and really get into the NCAA tournament, because that would be a lot of fun to see the Roos in the tournament for the first time in forever. Really, forever the first time in the NCAA tournament.
Coach Z?
Yeah, they were never in the tournament.
They never made the tournament.
Yeah, no.
They were close that one year. Very close,
and ended up not winning that conference tournament that year. I think it was at Kemper Arena. They ended up losing that conference championship. But they were so close with Coach Z, and I really want them to get back. I really want to get them back to prominence, to give everybody that kind of team to root for here in KC, where we can kind of put our allegiances aside. Everybody can be a Roos fan, and maybe they can do good for KC, just like Loyola of Chicago and Butler and those kind of schools did, you know, for Indianapolis and Chicago and places like that, and how cool it was for that team, the 16 seed, to beat the one UMHB or whatever that was out in Baltimore.
Baltimore County.
Yeah, you know, like you get those kind of, you know, schools that are city-based that kind of unite the whole city, and you put your alliances aside, and everybody gets behind them. So it'd be kind of cool to see UMKC make a little bit of a tournament run, and we get to learn who people are at UMKC on the national platform,
there,
right?
There you go.
And maybe they've got some big fan or something like that.
And then
like
we can find out what they want to be called.
That's exactly right.
I haven't looked at their notes. You mentioned you're like, well, it's Kansas City is
what they're going
with.
Oh,
that's
now.
Right. I don't know. You find those little spots, and teams will put out the game notes. So we'd prefer to be please refer to us as whatever.
As Kansas City, yeah.
Everybody changes their names, especially the ones that are affiliated with other schools and different states. The Wisconsin whatever is always don't want to be Wisconsin, because Wisconsin's Wisconsin.
Right.
So you don't want to be Wisconsin Platteville. You want to be Platteville or whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever.
And I don't blame them for that. I don't blame them at all.
Creating your own identity.
Yeah.
Missouri State.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. It was Southwest Missouri State. They switched to Missouri State. So. And, you know, that's good. That's what you should do. And Missouri State's thriving right now, man. I was talking to somebody yesterday about that, and we'll get into it here in one second about how it relates to the Missouri job. But Missouri State is growing and growing and growing. Like, that is a fast-growing university right now. And the Glass family, I believe, just gave a ton of money down there to Missouri State to build something down there. So they just had a ceremony a couple of months ago, I think, for them. And so that is just a growing university right now, and things are going in the right direction for them down in Springfield. So congratulations, Missouri State. You rebrand yourself a little bit and change things up and kind of break away from, you know, the old guard, and good things can happen to you. And so hopefully this is just the beginning. This is just like the tip of the iceberg for Billy Donlin and his team over there at UMKC, or Kansas City, as we're calling them now. We'll just call them the Roos, so that way everybody's on the same page, right? We'll
call I was looking at their story, and it says, say, Kansas City men's basketball.
Yeah. We'll just call them, because it sounds weird when you say Kansas City men's basketball.
Yes,
like,
it does.
What is that? Is that ABA? Is that NBA? Is that CBA? Who is that? Oh, that's NCAA. Okay, we'll go with the Roos.
Roos it is. There's your Roos update. Even Ryan's not here.
I know.
It's a Roos update. He's going to be so...
He's like rolling over in bed right now with his tacos going, oh, they're talking
so
Roos.
He's so ecstatic with this whole thing.
Rubbing salsa all over himself.
Chiefs-Patriots coming up on Sunday.
It is?
And I mentioned yesterday, I was like ready for the game, like geared up for the game.
Yeah.
And then you were listening to Bink after us, and I think had kind of the... We all kind of have the same feeling right now, right? this is way bigger for us.
It seems like like for us as the Chiefs fan.
Yeah.
Like when you're ranking who this game is big for, and Bink had Pete Sweeney on of Arrowhead Pride yesterday, and they were kind of talking about the bigness, if you will, of this game for, yeah, it's a football word, right?
Big ability scale.
That's exactly right. The bigness scale of who this game is really big for. They were talking about how big this game truly is for Chiefs fans. And I was thinking about that. I'm like, yeah, this game feels very big. Like yesterday was Wednesday. Yesterday was really the first day of the fiscal week in the NFL. And yesterday to me felt like a Friday. Like I was ready for that game. I woke up this morning.
Yeah, they hadn't even had a practice yet.
Right. Hadn't practiced yet. Yeah. We're 3 days into the week. They hadn't practiced yet. I called it over on Monday morning. We're ready to go. You've got red on today. You got your Chiefs shirt on today. Yes, yes, like you think it was Friday. Yeah. I woke up. I thought today was Wednesday. I had no idea what day it was. Then I thought it was Saturday midway through the shower. I'm like, oh my God, I got to get out and get ready to go for the weekend. And it's time to play a football game. It's time to get this thing going. So I think when you're ranking the bigness of this game, I think number one on the list, it is bigger for us as fans here in Kansas City than it is for anybody else around the world right now. And I don't just mean fan base. I mean it's bigger for us right now, Josh. And Pete and Bink were talking about this yesterday. It's bigger for us right now, maybe even more so than the team, because they're sitting at 8-4. They're going to win this division. They're going to be in the playoffs. Even if they lose this game up in New England, they're not giving up the fourth seed. They're still on that four line. Most people, you know, going into the year expected you to lose that game up in New England because it's New England. It's December. It's Tom Trubisky. It's Bill Belichick. It's the whole nine yards up there in New England. So I think, you know, okay, if you lose that game, it's not the end of the world for the team. But for us as a fan base, this is a game that means, I think, more than anything we've seen in a very long time when it comes to regular season football. And we may have to go back to that Monday night game in 2014, the night before the wild card game, when the New England Patriots rolled into town and we mollywopped them here in Kansas City. And everybody was talking about, are the Patriots done? And all Bill Belichick said, it's on to Cincinnati. And they went out and rolled the Bengals. And I think they won the Super Bowl that year, if I'm not mistaken. So I think for us as a fan base, this is the biggest regular season game that we've seen since that Patriots game in 2014. We need this game for validation. We, as a fan base, need to see our team go to New England and win that type of football game. So we can put our flag back in the ground and most people can say, all right, it's back to Super Bowl or bust, baby.
Yeah, I don't think the Chiefs team, I mean, they could use the confidence boost, but I don't think if they lose this game, they're going to, like, you know, rock in the corner and go, we can never beat the Patriots. Mm-hmm. We can never beat the Patriots. But fans,
we will.
We might.
Yeah, right. Because I think this is the best opportunity we've had in a very long time since 2014 to beat the Patriots. Like, I didn't think they beat the Patriots on that opening night in, what, 16 or 17, whatever it was, when Kareem Hunt had his coming out party and Alex Smith looked like holy
crap.
That was
a pleasant surprise.
That was a pleasant surprise. I didn't think they would win last year when they went up to New England and had a play early on in the season and we had that shootout. Coming into the AFC Championship game, I thought, okay, home field advantage, maybe this is the time we beat the Patriots. But, like, this is the legit monkey on our back when it comes to sports in Kansas City. Like, the Royals got the monkey off their back. They went to back-to-back world championships. They won the World Series, okay? They took the monkey. That is gone. But when it comes to us here in Kansas City, the Patriots are that big giant. They're that thing that stands out there that we look at and we go, God, we got to take them down. How can we do it? It's got to happen. And fans want this win, I think, more than we've ever, ever wanted a regular season win since that day in 2014. And I think if we take down the Patriots, and yes, I'm saying we as a fan base, if we take down the Patriots.
It's going to take all hands on deck.
It is.
So
it is. I was talking to somebody the other day, and I'm a warped guy anyway, Josh, you know that. And we were talking about, like, watching games, and I said, look.
I wasn't supposed to disagree, right?
No.
Okay, good.
No, not at all. And I said, look, I said, if I don't watch the game live or I feel like when I'm watching the game live, I have control. I can manipulate things. I really do. I believe that. I don't know why. I'm 42 years old, and I think by watching a game, I can control the outcome. I think a lot of fans feel that way because you're cheering and you're rooting and you're doing your whole thing, okay? I always felt like I could control the outcome of a game if I was watching it. So I feel like, yes, we all have ownership in this game that's coming up on Sunday. And for us, this is a big deal for the fan base, because if we beat the New England Patriots, I think a lot of people who got off the Chiefs bandwagon in October and November, and I'm talking about people here in Kansas City, will be right back on the bandwagon. That's what this kind of win can do. And going into the holidays, I think it can rejuvenate the entire fan base to get ready for a January run that I still expect to be very special and end in February in Miami against whoever from the NFC in the Super Bowl.
And I, about this one as well, I still think, because I've been in the camp, I'm not burying the Patriots, right? And also that it's about when you do bury them, they're not going to come through in the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
That if there are flaws with the Patriots, which there seemingly are, there have been over the last 17 years, there have been those seasons where they've had some flaws, and
right.
You're like, they always seem to overcome them, right?
Mm-hmm.
The final demise will be not being able to overcome one of those seasons in which you had all those question marks.
Right.
This may be the one. We don't know. This may be the one offensively where you go, yes, those questions you had in week 12 or 11
never
got resolved. That may be the case, mm-hmm. but I don't know. And so this one, to me, it's nice to prove you can win there. Chances are you might have to go back there. I think we'll all know if that is indeed the case. We know how hard it would be to get it a second time going back
sure,
there.
Sure, absolutely.
But I think to overcome that hurdle and know you can do it,
mm-hmm.
and know that Patrick can do it, Patrick can beat that team.
Right.
I think not be all end all, but could go a long way into giving you the kind of the push you need maybe for a playoff.
Gives you a little bit of a swag and a little bit of confidence. You beat the New England Patriots. I don't care if they're 10-2, okay? They're still a good football team.
Yes. Well, yeah, we'll hear from Christian Fournier, the former tight end now at WEI in Boston, because the meltdown there has been fantastic.
It's been great. You've been listening now.
I tuned in a little bit yesterday via the radio.com app. And yeah, it's just a handful of complain, 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 complain. And then, well, they're going to win this game. You know, it's like,
right.
It's like this weird balance of everything's wrong. Yeah, they don't expect him to lose.
No, but these are the games, though, where the Patriots, like going into the week, like everybody's down on the Patriots, down on the Patriots.
And then by Friday, they're going to be all, we're stopping this team.
Right, yeah, yeah. And they win the game on Sunday. Yeah, yes, you know? That's how it always works with these people.
The city is going to come back in that regard.
Right.
So we'll hear from Christian Fournier coming up in our next segment. Mizzou's got a head coach opening, among others, mm-hmm. in college football. And there are some names that have surfaced creeping towards the top already?
Yeah, I heard yesterday from a very, very good source, Josh Heupel may be the favorite right now for the Missouri job. And I don't know if that's good or not. I looked at his record at UCF where he took over for Scott Frost. I think he's like 21-4 down there in 2 years. So he's had a really nice run down there at his job right now. He was at Missouri a couple of years ago as the offensive coordinator. I think he was fired, if I'm not mistaken, at that time at the University of Missouri. But I've been told by a really good source that he's like the favorite right now, followed by Tulane head coach Willie Fritz. And I don't know if that gets Missouri fans excited. I don't know if that rejuvenates Missouri fans. I don't know either of those guys or really if they're, you know, good coaches or whatnot, but their resumes seem to speak like they are pretty good coaches. And I think either one of those would be a nice hire by the University of Missouri, especially Willie Fritz, because he's the type of guy, when you look at his resume, it's like junior high, high school, junior college, low college level, mid-major where he is right now at Tulane. And that guy's done nothing but win along the way. And I think that goes a long way into when you're hiring a head football coach. The guy's won at multiple levels and knows how to get it done. He's just a dye-in-the-wool type of football coach. And Josh Heupel's had success down there at Central Florida. I don't know if that's a deal where, you know, you just took over a great program and you were able to continue the tradition, or if you got the Oklahoma Bob Stoops blood in you that you can carry on, you know, to the University
of Missouri.
Is that like
Tiger blood?
It is like Tiger blood.
Now,
yeah.
Now Heupel, the reports were a big buyout, right?
Yeah.
When he first signed that deal, and the buyout was like before a bowl game in 2020, which would be
now. Yeah.
So, but I think after this bowl season, right?
Mm-hmm. He can get out of it.
He can get out of it?
He can get out of that deal. So maybe you wait a little bit on that. But Willie Fritz is also interviewing for the Arkansas job, even though the reports are that he said Missouri is his dream job.
Yeah, that was weird.
That was odd.
It's weird playing one off the other.
Hey, you might as well, though, man. You're in a spot to, you know, negotiate, to bargain, to get more money. What? You might as well do it. So those are the two names that I'm hearing right now. Whether either of them get the job, I don't know. And you know how these things change over time, too, Josh, right? Like, tomorrow there may be another new hot name. But yesterday I was told, like, Josh Heupel's kind of the leader in the clubhouse right now for that job.
The sky is falling in New England. We get the misery from former NFL tight end and WEEI host Christian Fourier next.
Fesco in the morning.
We take a look at this week's opponent, the New England Patriots. Christian Fourier, former NFL tight end, including with the Patriots. Now with our sister station, WEEI in Boston, and whoa, are the Pats.
Well, it's not a strong 10-2. It is, it isn't. There is some, I think there's smoke and mirrors with everything, to be honest with you, this year, with how strong they are at 10-2, because then you can sit there, you can point to all the JV squad that they played earlier in the year, on all the backup or third-string quarterbacks or quarterbacks who aren't even in the league anymore, to, you know, Brady's over the hill and done, and it's all his fault. Like, there's this over-exaggeration, I think, at every single level. But the reality is, I mean, there's some truth to all of it, right? But it doesn't mean they can't win it. It doesn't mean they can't put out. They just need to fix so many things. And usually, by this time, you've kind of figured out, okay, what they, you know, what they can fix and what they're incapable of fixing. And then which side of the ball or what special teams or offense or defense needs to make up the difference. And right now, it's the offense is the weak sister in this group.
Yeah, it seems to be that way, but it also seems to be like, you know, Tom is obviously missing Gronk and whatnot, but it seems like, you know, for the Patriots, they've kind of just abandoned the run altogether, like not even attempting to run the football. And I think when you're playing the Chiefs and leading up to a game against Kansas City, man, you got to be an effective running team. Do you think the Patriots can do that this week?
Well, they haven't really abandoned the run. They just haven't been any good at it. You know, when you think about all the offensive, you know, guys that they lost, from offensive linemen to fullbacks, they lost two fullbacks to the guys that are playing tight end that just aren't very good. So, and then yesterday, I mean, last week on Sunday night, I mean, I think they had 9 plays. 6 of them were runs. They were committed to the run. They ran Sony Michel like crazy. Even when they were at the inside the 10, they gave it to him on first down. Then they threw it the next 2 times. But then they were just kind of, they couldn't really get into a rhythm. So the running game kind of took a back seat. Then they fell behind. Then they had to throw it. So they're committed to running the ball. They're committed to running the ball. I mean, it's, even if you go back to the Philly game, the way they ended the Philly game, they ended it by running it. And that is something no one has seen in a while. The Dallas game. They did it against the Dallas. They couldn't do it against Philly. They did it against Dallas. And they kept trying to do it last week against Houston. Had early success, but then they kind of went away from it for various reasons.
So do you expect the game plan is to commit to it and try to stick to it this week?
I would assume that still, I feel like that should still be the philosophy moving forward. I still feel like that needs to be a big chunk of it. You know, I don't think it'll look nearly as good as it did last year, because I think there's two issues. One, I think the Kansas City Chiefs defense is better than it was last year. So I don't know if you'll have as much success. Not only because of that, but because their offense isn't nearly as good. It's like half the team that it was. Last year, you had not only Gronk, but you had Dwayne Allen. And you had 5 offensive linemen that had played together the entire year and never missed a game. The guys didn't even miss practice. Those 5 guys weren't even in the training room. It was uncanny how healthy they were the entire year. This year, it's been a complete 180. All of them have been hurt, or they're out for the year, or they've been sick, or they've lost both their tight ends. So it's just not even close to being intimidating. And the offense is really, really predictable. I mean, they're not striking fear into anybody's hearts. So the most important thing is to play a clean game, a relatively safe game, because they're incapable of doing so many things. They're working with half their playbook right now. So when you watch the offense, they look antiquated. They look old. They look slow. They just look uninspired, you know. And the defense is the one that's getting all the glory and all the attention, and deservedly so.
So that defense, I'm looking at them, and it's obviously it's not a paper thing. I haven't watched every game like you have, but they are 10 wins against quarterbacks basically you never heard of. And then when you see Deshaun Watson out there and when you see Lamar Jackson out there, that defense got beat pretty good by those two guys. Now, I'm looking at Patrick Mahomes in that category as Deshaun Watson and Lamar Jackson. Can this defense have success against Patrick Mahomes?
Well, I'll take Lamar Jackson out of the equation. Very unique guy. Everyone's having trouble with him. I think if they face him again, it'd be a different outcome. It would look more like San Francisco played him, in my opinion. Houston, they moved the ball pretty well, but I also say they got a early turnover, and then they had a couple big plays. But they, for the most part, it was the tight ends and their tailbacks that were beating them up in the first half. DeAndre Hopkins didn't really do much. I mean, I think he had like maybe 6 or 7 or 8 catches, like 64 yards, but he wasn't really doing a ton of damage. So, but it was the tight ends with big plays. So, I would think that if the defense had just a little bit of support, they had no support. None. They put them in crappy positions. They kept turning it over or dropping the ball or, you know, punting the ball. They put so much stress on their own defense. It's remarkable that they've been able to do what they've been doing. But as far as Patrick Mahomes goes, again, I equate Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs offense. They're completely different as far as the way they look, but the outcome is the same. Explosive plays, lots of great players. Really great creative plays. I mean, they're aggressive when they call their plays. I mean, I love Eric Bieniemy. I was a huge fan of Andy Reid. So to me, you're going to get the same type of, I guess, mindset. It'll look completely different, but I still think the defense is going to be stressed the same way they were stressed when they played against Baltimore and Lamar Jackson.
Now the sky is falling, but I'm not falling for it. I'm not.
You guys are too nice out there in Kansas.
I can't. I'm going to be late to the Patriots or Dead party. I'm fully committed to that. Like, I will be the last one in. I will not throw dirt until everybody else has thrown dirt on this thing. So I'm fully expecting a great game Sunday night.
I'm telling you, their offense is terrible. I'm not going to pull any punches. I've been saying it for like 4 weeks. They're terrible. They're not good. They don't do anything well. Like, period. They're not good. Their offense is not good. Like, you should feel happy about that. If they can't match Kansas City. If it comes to a shootout, they can't match. They flat out can't do it.
Yeah, that's kind of the way I feel like it, too. I think Kansas City wins this game. I think they get the quote-unquote monkey off their back. How do you feel, Christian?
Monkey? How is there a monkey on Kansas City's back?
Not being able to beat the Patriots ever, you know?
Oh, okay, that's the monkey? Okay.
Yeah.
Man, I'd love to be that monkey. Yeah, I don't. I'll tell you what. I don't feel good about it right now. An early prediction would be Patriots lose, but I think they look better. I think they can gain. I think they can have some progress through a loss, right? Almost like they did last year when they lost back-to-back games against Miami and Pittsburgh. So I feel like it can be similar to that. It'll never be as good, but at least they can just not suck because that's all they've been doing so far.
Christian Fourier, WEEI in
Not
Boston.
A big fan of what's going on with the Patriots, is he?
No.
But still thinks they're going to win on Sunday.
Listening, as you have, the feel seems to be not that there's like this giant fear of the Chiefs or anything. It has like nothing to do with
the Chiefs.
They're
not talking much about the Chiefs per se. It's about them.
They're bad.
Yeah. They're 10-2 and they are awful.
They're a bad 10-2. It's not that the Chiefs are coming to town. They could lose this game. It is. We're really bad.
We're bad.
And what are we going to do about it?
Yeah, we got to fix this thing right now. We are 10-2 in the two seed. What is going on?
Where will Tommy play next year?
Yeah, and we will get to that because that was a big topic of discussion from them yesterday. And some of the choices that they had that we'll get to in about 20 minutes from now, oh, my God, are unfreaking believable when you hear where they think Tom Brady may end up next year.
What is a walk? Is the new what is a catch? Plus, we shouted out 69306 on the text line. Anything you'd like to discuss, 69306. We'll get to that next.
Fesco in the morning.
69306 on the text line. Anything you'd like to discuss, we will shout it out coming up in just a few minutes. I can't stop watching this video today. I don't know how many times you have watched it. I just find it tremendously hilarious. Because the longstanding joke in the NBA is they always get away with traveling.
Oh, God, did they get away with traveling last
and
night,
LeBron
brother.
James did.
Holy cow. He went from, like, the T to the H in Utah across the court. He, like, climbed the delicate arch on the bottom of their court. And it was a clear walk. Like, yeah. He just picked up the ball and started walking, and nobody called it.
He's bringing the ball up the court. He's across midcourt. He's probably just kind of, you know, he's not heavily guarded, so he's thinking about who's going to pass.
Where is he
going to
throw the ball? Yeah.
So
I don't blame LeBron on this.
He picks up the ball, takes two steps, puts the ball back down, and just keeps dribbling.
So it was a travel and a double dribble. Yeah. Like, the refs had an opportunity to call multiple things on this.
Didn't see a thing.
The dude guarding him is like, what the hell? Snyder's reacting crazy.
The two guys
benches.
In the front rows.
The guys crazy. In the front row are the best.
Those guys just freaking out.
Like, nobody called it. And like, it's LeBron's fault for traveling. Yeah, he made that mistake. But I'm not going to blame LeBron for why this wasn't called. This is on the refs. Yeah. I mean, you got to call this. The man literally picked up the ball and carried it tighter than Shady McCoy ever carries a ball and walked and then put the ball back down and started dribbling.
It looked like
again.
A practice. Like it a practice did, if you're like, okay, we're going to run this play. All right, go. And so he takes a couple steps, bounces, go. I mean, it was just ridiculous. And nobody caught it.
Well, nobody.
I mean,
did.
A lot of people caught it, but
everybody but the refs
and not LeBron at the time.
I don't even know what dance I saw at halftime. That's one of the worst ones I've ever done.
He's like, that's one of the worst ones I've ever done. And then he went on to say, I even feel bad for the referees because somebody's probably going to get written up about this.
Yeah. Yeah, that was not good. I mean, that was a bad deal by the referees on that one, and they will get written up for that. I mean, it was a blatant miscall.
Now, for him
right?
to say it's one of the worst things I've ever done in my career, I thought it was a little much.
Well, he hasn't done a whole heck of a lot bad, Josh.
But that was just, they didn't call it, man. Yeah. And then he said he had a malfunction.
Yeah, well, he did have a malfunction. I mean, he did, and there's no doubt he did. And you know, you have those every once in a while. Sometimes, you know, you're out driving or something, and you have one of those moments where you just kind of forget where you are for a second or what you're doing for a moment. Like, you have those kind of, you know, mind blanks that go every once in a while, especially when you get older. You're like, oh, I forgot what I was doing here for a second. And it did, when you referred to it as practice, I guarantee you at that particular point in time, LeBron all of a sudden thought, nobody's guarding me. Oh, yeah, we're just practicing here, so let me bring the ball up and see what we can. And, oh, my God, I'm in the middle of a game.
Yeah.
And totally forgot about it. Then after the game was out of reach, he took his shoes off, and he's on the sidelines with no shoes on because he gave his shoes to somebody in the crowd. And the Utah announcers, of course, went blast. This is uncalled for. How could you do something like that? The man gave his shoes to a kid in the crowd or something like that.
Well, but he wasn't ready to play the end of the game.
Right. I mean, well, they were up by like 30 or something like
that. Well, I mean, Dwayne Haskins went and did a selfie.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I mean, he got blasted. Why shouldn't LeBron get blasted?
True. That's a fair point. No, right? That's a fair point. Yeah.
You played till the end of the game.
You play to the end.
Right? Yeah, they need him out there to take take a victory formation.
That's right. You got to play to the end in the NBA.
Like, won by like 30.
Lakers are the best team in the NBA right now. I think like 21-3 or something like that. They are playing phenomenal
basketball. Of course, they get away with traveling.
They break all the rules. There's nothing for them to be held accountable for. So I'll be interested to see if the NBA releases a statement on that and if they release a statement on the missed dunk. It's not been a good night for the referees over the last 48 hours in some of these kind of prominent NBA games featuring Houston two nights ago. And then, of course, LeBron and the Lakers last night. Let's shout it out, 69306 on the text line today. You can text in whatever it is that is on your mind, whatever you want to talk about, whatever makes you happy, and we will discuss it here on 610 Sports Radio. What we got today?
Are we still Super Bowl contenders if we lose to the Patriots on Sunday?
Absolutely. I don't think that changes anything. If the Chiefs lose on Sunday, they're still the fourth seed in the postseason. They're still going to win the division. They're still going to have at least one home playoff game, whether it be in the wild card round or what. The wild card round, I guess, and then you move on and you take your chances. You already beat Baltimore once this season, so you know they're the kryptonite for the Baltimore Ravens, just like the Patriots are the kryptonite for the Chiefs. I don't think anything changes to me, in my opinion. Now, I know for a lot of other folks it's going to change their opinion one way or the other, but I've been on Super Bowl or bust all season long, and I'm not getting off of that until we find out where this ride ends.
Shout it out, I think I could be happy eating refried beans every day.
Yeah. I mean, I think so, because you can do a lot of different things with refried beans. You can put them in a taco. Refried beans and bacon tacos on fresh-made tortillas were the best thing that I ate when I was living in Texas, Josh, with green salsa on top of them. So you can have them for breakfast. You can have them for lunch. Mix some guacamole in with them. You can mix them on your burritos, your enchiladas. Yeah, refried beans, man. That is a great accoutrement.
Mm. Yeah, not enough taste, though, to eat them every day, I don't think.
You don't they're like little, do you don't like
a little,
them?
They're a little flat.
You can add some. You can add stuff to them. They're a perfect dish to add to. Salsa, jalapenos.
I'm not a huge fan either.
Oh, I mean, I like it. I just don't think that could be an everyday thing for me. No.
What could be an everyday thing for you?
Pizza.
Yeah, pizza is the number one. Right.
Pizza I could do every day.
Okay.
Maybe tacos. Shout it out. I have a 69-mile commute. Nice. And I'm still not traveling as far as LeBron did last night. But nice.
That is good. Like that.
Rank the Hostess mini donuts: powdered, chocolate, crumb, cinnamon, glazed.
Chocolate is number one for me. Powder is at the end. I
really
don't like the powdered donuts.
Number two, just buying chocolate.
I don't like the texture of those Hostess mini powdered donuts.
Oh, I love it. They just make a mess. They're great.
That too. Then it looks like you got white powder all over you, because you can't eat them without getting coated in powder.
Why don't the Patriots call Dez Bryant?
Ooh.
He hasn't played for a couple years?
Dez Bryant.
He tore his ACL in a practice when he tried to come back. I don't think he should come back at all.
Yeah, I think.
When was the last time he played?
He's in the perfect spot because he can just tweet and then everybody remembers him. Like, oh, yeah, can you still play?
But what about Megatron? About maybe they should call Megatron. How long he's been out for? A couple years now, though, too.
He felt like he could still play when he left,
retired, but now he's over 30. Yeah. I mean,
2017 is the last time Dez Bryant played.
Yeah, that's too long. Yeah, you can't play that long.
How am I supposed to put off walking into my office when the parking garage kills my 610 radio signal?
Oh, you got to listen to radio.com
app.
Yeah, the radio.com app.
Take
man.
It with you anywhere.
That's right.
They extended their sale too.
That's right. It is. It's Cyber Week. All week long, the radio.com app is
free. Is it really?
Yeah.
Free?
It's free.
Oh, wow.
Actually, it's free all the time. So download the radio.com app, put it on your phone, and take 610 Sports Radio with you. You can stream it all day. Just turn it on and never turn it off.
Bob, you wouldn't forget where you were at if you took fish oil.
You know what, though? That makes your pores smell.
She wrapped up her damn cat. Is that a Christmas vacation reference?
She wrapped up her damn cat. Yeah.
I don't know if that's the case or not.
Yeah, you don't wrap your cat.
This one's leaking.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, this one's leaking. Oh, it's got the cat food all over it. Mm.
I prefer Totino's pizzas over most other pizza.
That's funny, really. Like, really funny.
Hey, for the money, for the value.
What do you get, 36 rolls for a buck, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay,
those pizzas are you get it for a dollar. $1.25 or so.
It's like hitting the gold mine.
You can't.
Now, do you cook those on top of the box to make sure they're crispy or something like that? Is there a way to do that in the microwave? Because I know with the Weight Watchers pizza, you cook it on top of the box.
Totino's, they don't give you that much stuff anymore. Now it's down to a plastic wrap.
It
used to be a box, and it's not anymore.
Oh, it's just a plastic wrap now, so you just throw them in the microwave?
Yeah.
Dump some sauce on them?
I don't microwave.
What do you got to wait 2 days for those things to cool off?
Put an oven in it.
You do oven it. You don't microwave them. Okay. But what if you really need them?
Well, it doesn't take very long.
You got to heat up the oven. And how long do you leave them cool? 2 days before you eat those things?
I just pull them out of the freezer, put it in.
Those things are lava hot inside.
A circle is the only thing that is a shape, a letter, and a number.
A circle is a shape, a letter, and a number. It's a zero and O. Yeah, I'll give you that.
I bet someone thought long and hard about
that one. I'll give you that one, yeah.
That one's been driving you crazy for a while, but thanks for texting that one in. Yeah.
No, that's what this segment is all about.
Yeah. If you buy quality fish oil, your pores won't smell.
Okay. All right. I'm just, I know my mom gave it to me one time and I took it. I'm like, I smell like salmon. What is this? I'm like, cat food. Like, cats are pawing at me. Like, meow, meow.
The toaster oven is the proper way to cook a Totino's.
And the toaster oven is the proper way to do a lot of things. We have a toaster and a toaster oven, and the toaster oven is the perfect thing to reheat French fries or to reheat pizza or to reheat a lot of things. The toaster oven is absolutely the way to go on that.
I delivered a load of propane tanks just outside of Foxborough. I left them a big sign that said there's propane tanks and we'll deliver the loss on Sunday. there's a propane tank and we'll deliver the loss on Sunday.
Understand that.
I'm guessing you drove by Foxborough, you did your drop off, and you left him a note. So
you left him
lose.
A note. Okay, gotcha.
I think is what. Shouldn't have read that verbatim.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're working you know.
Sometimes you got to edit, yeah. Including yourself. Home Alone belongs on the holiday movie Mount Rushmore.
I agree. I think it's a very good movie.
Just the first one, though.
Just oh god, yeah. You don't. Who's ever watching Home Alone 2? That's like a waste of your time.
A line is a shape, letter, and a number.
It is one, yeah, L or I.
Wow, breaking that one down.
Somebody is
come
pissed
on
at now. That
now,
yeah.
Yeah, someone.
A line is a shape, a letter, and a number too. Yeah.
Wow. That's that person that texted that first one is the circle one's gonna be so disappointed.
Like that guy's day is ruined.
He like crushed his world.
A line's never ending though, so it can't be a. I mean,
yeah, that's a good point. That's fair. That's a good one.
They're saying like a one.
You know, I have a lot of these shouted out questions myself during the day.
Yeah.
Like, who invented soup?
I assumed it was Mr. Campbell.
Oh, okay. That's fair.
Wouldn't it be?
Or the lawn. Who invented the lawn?
In 1897, John T. Dorrance was the person who invented the... He's a chemist who with the Campbell Soup Company.
There wasn't soup before 1897? Are you kidding me? People were eating soup in the 1600s.
That's what this says.
I assume this guy invented the soup and then Campbell ripped it off.
That's usually what happens. Yeah.
What happens.
No. The soup's got to be around. I mean, people were eating gruel back in the day. Don't you remember like Tiny Tim? More gruel, please.
People are now fighting circle and a zero are different.
Well, of course they are.
19th century.
A line makes all shapes?
Yeah, a zero is more of an oval than it is a circle. I mean, I was giving the guy the benefit of the doubt. That's what we're all about, right? Give him the benefit of the doubt.
That is today's edition of Shout It Out. Continue to discuss shapes, letters, and numbers.
And who invented soup.
If you desire, and who invented soup. The madness in New England is really mad. Next.
Fesco in the morning.
Text line's always there to help. I understand. 69306. Soupy McSoupface invented soup. Thank you.
Soupy Sales, I was told, invented soup as well.
True.
But that's not true. I like Soupy McSoupface.
Yes, of course. When in doubt.
Yeah.
Also, an eight is a number, a mask, and two shapes attached.
That is true. That's great.
A lot of
that's
consternation.
Really
a zero is an oval, not a circle.
I do like that. I mean, like that.
I mean.
A couple of texts are coming in.
I just feel like we crushed this poor person. They've been thinking about this one forever.
Yeah, I feel bad for that person.
Now you're poking holes in his theory. I don't like it.
No, let this guy go, man. Let this guy go. A couple of texts coming in about the podcast I did with Binkley, and you can check that out at the 435 Podcast Network on 610sports.com. Binkley has been living with a secret for the last 2 years or so, and the computer won't work, so there you go. It's in the Fesco folder.
We'll talk some more Soupy McSoupface.
Yeah, Soupy McSoupface while the computer kind of reboots here. But anyway, if you want to check that out, Binkley has been living with an illness for the
Binkley
last couple of years.
Binkley preview cut? That's it. That's okay,
exactly
here it is.
It.
I haven't felt my legs in 2 years. You know, you got to get used to
my legs.
I think I broke my toe, but I couldn't feel it. You know, I don't feel cold. I wear shorts all the time, which I've always done, but I don't feel it. And the hardest thing to people understand is the fatigue part of it. Some days you just get worn down, man.
And so that's Jay Binkley with me on the latest edition of the KC Bobcast. And I know a lot of people downloaded it last night and listened to it and heard Jay Binkley's story. And if you know Jay Binkley and you love Jay Binkley like we all do here at 610 Sports Radio, the podcast is definitely worth your listen because he's been battling a very, very bad illness for the last 2 years. And, Josh, it's one of these illnesses. It's not going to get better.
No.
Like there's no recovery in sight for Jay. And so I encourage everybody to go listen to the podcast, listen to what he's been dealing with over the last couple of years, and maybe there's a way somebody out there can help Jay Binkley get through all of this. So check it out at the 435 Podcast Network, the KC Bobcast at 610sports.com. And there are a lot of texts rolling in this morning, and that's why I brought it up again because people talking about the podcast with Binkley last night, and a lot of folks did listen to that, and I encourage everybody to listen to it because it is really, really eye-opening. It's really moving, and it's really touching, and it will pull at your heartstrings to hear what Jay's been going through and what he's facing basically for the rest of his life.
Coming up at 7, the Hall of Famer has some advice for 15, we have been listening quite a bit to our sister station, WEEI, in New England, in Boston this week, kind of gauging the feel. And to me, I find it humorous because they're kind of dealing with, you know, every man's problems.
That's exactly right.
Right? Every football team, every football
city. They're 10-2. You think the world is
every football city's problems. They just deal with it at a different level because they're 10-2 while going through problems.
And as I look at NFL Network now and Good Morning Football, they're talking to a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers who started at 1-4, and now they're 7-5. And you got to think, in Pittsburgh, people are excited, right?
Yeah, I would think.
People are excited in Pittsburgh.
Their quarterback went down. They thought their season was probably over.
Right. Then they acquired Minkah Fitzpatrick, and everybody said they were stupid for doing that. Now, all of a sudden, they're the sixth seed. So Pittsburgh at 7-5 is like, wow, we're having a really good year based on the way we started. And in New England, they're sitting at 10-2 with the 2 seed and a bye in the first round of the playoffs and a home field game in the playoffs. And they're looking at that, and they're going, boy, this really stinks right now. We're sitting at 10-2, and we're no good. And so I always try to listen in to the city that we're getting ready to play when it comes to, you know, to the Chiefs, at least one day a week. I've been doing it a lot more with this one in New England.
Because it's really humorous.
Well, it's humorous, but it's the magnitude of the game for us. I mean, like, this is a big game, you know? It's a big, big deal. I mean, this is a game that we want as a fan base more than we've wanted a regular season game since the Patriots in 2014. So I think this is a very, very big week for us, a very big week for Kansas City, very big week for the Chiefs, and a great opportunity here to go and kind of slay that dragon and to slay that beast. And so what I was listening yesterday, and they were talking about the future of Tom Brady, and they were talking about some places where Tom Brady could end up next year, because, you know, now the world is done with Tom Brady in New England because they're 10-2 and he's not hitting, you know, wide receivers that you never heard of before. And so some of the places that they came up with really had me upset, because as a Chiefs fan, I don't want to see a lot of this happen. Like, I'm all for Tom Brady going to an NFC team, Josh. Like, the Chicago Bears were one team that they mentioned because they've got a very good defense. Obviously, Matt's a great head football coach, a great offensive mind, Nagy up there in Chicago. He made Mitchell Trubisky look like Tom Brady a year ago. So, you know, Nagy can do good things, and they clearly are going to need a quarterback. Because
Same quarterback.
So Chicago was one of those that they threw out there as a good landing spot for Tom Brady. I'm like, okay, I could agree with Chicago. And then it got ugly, and then it got dark, and then it got scary really, really fast, because the next two teams that they listed would have a direct impact on the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, one team that they said, you remember, I said this a couple of weeks ago, okay? The Los Angeles Chargers is a team that they threw out there as a possible landing spot for Tom Brady. And I was listening to that. I'm like, this is exactly what I said a couple of weeks ago. That new stadium coming on, needing to sell tickets. Phillip Rivers is done. Tom Brady's from that part of the country. Not that it matters, but it's Tom Brady. The Chargers need buzz going into that new stadium. And what better way to garner buzz and garner attention than to go out there and have Tom Brady as your quarterback? And look, the San Diego Chargers have a defense as well, Josh. They can play defense. I mean, you know, they've got a very good defense. Derwin James came back. You've got Joey Bosa. I mean, like, you've got a legit defense in Los Angeles, and you may just be one quarterback away from potentially, you know, winning and generating some excitement. And as good as Phillip Rivers has been for the Chargers for all these years, he doesn't generate buzz anymore. You know what I'm saying? Like, people are kind of like, eh, we've seen that. We've been there. We've done that. But if you're the Chargers and you're moving into that new stadium out in L.A., and you haven't sold one ticket yet, like, people's moms aren't even buying tickets to that thing, right? Because they know they can get them on the secondary market for half price later on the day before the game. Like, people's parents aren't buying tickets to go watch that team play. But if you get Tom Brady, that dude's going to move tickets, right? He's going to sell tickets. And that's what I was saying a couple of weeks ago. And so EEI was talking about it as well. And San Diego Chargers could be a spot for him based on the new stadium and the fact that they're basically dead in the water already out in Los Angeles. And then the third one, and this is where my stomach really got twisted in a knot, the Denver Broncos. Because John Elway now, quote unquote, has that history of taking these old quarterbacks and bringing them out to Denver to finish their career. And I never thought about that at all, that the Denver Broncos may be the landing spot where Brady goes, well, if it was good enough for Peyton and John Elway twists my arm hard enough, you know what? Maybe I will go to Denver. My balls will travel farther because there's no, you know, air out there. Make me look better as a quarterback. Denver's got a pretty good defense still. That looks like a landing spot because John Elway is the king of resurrecting these old quarterbacks that basically look like they were done.
I don't know. Haven't they figured it out? I mean, Drew Lock had a game.
Had one game. Had a very nice game. Very excited for him.
So haven't they figured it out? Wouldn't they stay the course of that at this point in time? Maybe he had a game. Is that enough body of work to not do anything else?
No.
Okay.
No. It's Denver.
Buy Drew Lock one more year.
Buy Drew Lock another year. Let him learn behind Peyton or Tom Brady.
Yep.
That one hit me like a ton of bricks. That could happen.
I wish Brady didn't scare me. He still does.
Absolutely, he does. I don't want him on another team.
I can't say he goes somewhere else and I'm not fearful of that. So, yeah, I just assume he go to the NFC and it's a nice little sideshow.
Correct. Go to the Bears, do your thing in Chicago. They were even joking he could open a TB12 in Chicago, or maybe a TB12 is opening in Chicago or something like that. Like he could go up there and do all of that. But the Chargers and the Broncos were the two that really kind of went, I don't necessarily want to see him twice a year in the division because he will make those teams better. I mean, you're going from Phillip Rivers, who is a Hall of Famer, let's call it what it is, to another Hall of Famer in Tom Brady, who's better than the Hall of Famer that you're replacing, or you send him out to Denver, and we saw what the Broncos were able to do with a quarterback that they basically put together with popsicle sticks and duct tape in Peyton Manning and how awful he was. And they still won a Super Bowl with him out there because their defense was really good. And so their defense is still pretty darn good out in Denver. I don't want to see Tom Brady in this division at all, but a couple of the spots do make a lot of sense that are right here in the AFC West.
Okay. I'm jealous of the Yankees. No, not that normal reason. We've all been jealous of the Yankees at some point in time,
right?
But I'm jealous at a plan that may be coming together involving the Yankees and the ability to watch their games via streaming without a television package.
That's cool. I like that.
So the Yankees could become the first major league team to team up with Amazon and have their games, or at least some of their games, at least to start, streamed via Amazon Prime. Now, you would have to subscribe to Amazon Prime, but it's a heck of a lot cheaper than a television package.
Yeah, Amazon Prime is, $119 for the year or something like that? Yeah.
And they could even progress towards something that they say, according to the New York Post, a goal would be to have a standalone streaming package, say a year for $99.
Right, for the entire year of all Yankee games.
I would totally do that as a Royals.
It's a great deal.
I would totally buy that. Give me $99 for my team and I can watch it anywhere. No blackout restrictions or in-market restrictions or any of those things.
Right.
I don't have to subscribe to a TV package and just give me my team for $99. I'd do that in a heartbeat.
You'd do that in a second. The Royals were also mentioned in this article because their TV deal, as we know, is coming due. And it could be another team that is on one of these RSNs that looks for a different way to distribute their streaming rights. Because secretly, I don't know if it was in the last owner's meeting or the owner meeting before, secretly, Major League Baseball gave local streaming rights back to the teams, and they can do whatever they want now with these local streaming rights. And look, the Yankees are always going to be one of the first to do everything because they're in the biggest market, they've got the biggest fan base, and they've got the most opportunity for something like this. If the Yankees take their games to Amazon and it goes well, other teams are going to look around and go, well, maybe we can do that. Maybe the Royals decide to go with Hulu, or maybe they decide to go with another streaming service or whatever the case may be. But I think this is just the tip of the iceberg where we start to see the ability for fans in market or out of market to basically purchase the streaming rights to their teams, because it means more money for these franchises and more money for the organizations. And those are local dollars, and local dollars in Major League Baseball are yours to keep, okay? The money that gets divided in Major League Baseball is the central fund from the national TV deals and the national merchandising and all that kind of stuff. That all goes into a pool and then is distributed 30 ways. But the money that you make in your own market is your money. And now that streaming rights have been given back to the ball clubs, that is another way to generate, I think, massive amounts of money, because with cord cutting that's going on now and people are still cutting the cord or finding ways to cut the cord, one of my biggest holdups has been
sports.
Sports. How am I going to get the sports, right? How am I going to get what I want? and I've got a Fire Stick. I'm an Amazon Prime member. If Amazon Prime all of a sudden had a Royals option for $99 a year and you got every game for $99, well, that's a hell of a lot cheaper than your cable subscription.
I'm buying a TV subscription in the summer just for the Royals.
Just for the Royals.
Right now. And it's more than $99 for an entire season.
Correct.
I could cancel what we have. I'm the only one in my household that watches it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really only getting it to get the pass-through rights to be able to watch Fox Sports Kansas City.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But if that was straight to the consumer offered for a price, I'd pay for it.
Yeah.
For sure.
You absolutely
would. Because if you subscribe to what, MLB TV or whatever, you don't get your in-market team, right?
Right.
That's a
yeah, no, it's blacked out.
So it's like you can get every other team but the Royals, right? Make it so you could get it in-market, I'm in.
Yeah.
And it's a very simple way, but I understand there's some contractual things now, that make it difficult.
If you have a TV subscription, you can get the Royals on MLB TV too. But you have to have your pass through code to get through to get that up.
Right. Yeah. But you're already paying for it through another man.
Right. Yeah.
If this was just a straight $100, here's your Royals season. I would do it for sure.
You would absolutely do it. And this is what the NBA is doing right now. You can subscribe to a game, you can subscribe to a team, you can subscribe to the whole season. And the NBA is allowing you to kind of a la carte your TV package. I think that's the wave of the future for the NFL. Like I think about it all the time with NFL Sunday Ticket and what's going to happen with the future of that, because I'm a DirecTV subscriber. And the reason I'm a DirecTV subscriber is because I want NFL Sunday Ticket. I want the ability to watch the games that I want to watch, you know, on Sunday. But I think if this is the going rate,
just
I think
give me
you're
my team.
Just give me my team for $99 for the year, and you're
I'll break
in.
It down. I'll break it down that way,
and you'll start to do that, and you won't have to have these big time cable subscriptions, and it will be more money ultimately, I think anyway, for the teams, because they're not splitting the pot with DirecTV or Comcast or whoever the case may be. They're out there, you know, doing their own thing and making all of the money off of that. So I think it is definitely, Josh, the wave of the future, and I think that's where sports television is going and where sports television is headed, and I think it's a great way to go about it.
610 Sports Radio, KCSP Kansas City, WDAF HD2 Kansas City, radio.com, sports station. Your 7 o'clock hour prize, the Flying Horse Tap Room gift pack.
Yeah, baby.
Next time you hear this,
that's a good one.
The Flying Horse.
Yeah.
Be caller number.
Let's go with caller number 18 today.
To 913-576-7610. You're going to win the Flying Horse Tap Room gift pack.
And you can order online at flyinghorsetaproom.com. They'll deliver your food
on a flying horse.
Yeah, on a flying horse. Hey, a quick shout out today. Jeremiah Marshall, she plays girls basketball for Central, listens with her dad every day in the car. She was named the Athlete of the Week. 19 points, 16 rebounds, and 9 steals for her in their last game. So I wanted to give a shout out to her. He's driving her to school this morning. So we want to give a shout out, man. If you got an athlete that's doing something good, let us know about it. We'll shout them out here on the radio. So congratulations to Ms. Marshall.
Why didn't she get that 10th steal so she could have a triple-double?
So she could have the triple-double, I know. That's something you got to take up with Dad, right?
Come
on, Dad. Where's the 10th steal?
Something to shoot for you. Redo the stats.
You got to redo that,
go back
man.
Over the...
No, that's pretty cool, man. So if you got a kid that's doing well in sports, let us know. We'll shout them out.
Hall of Famer Kurt Warner has some advice for Patrick Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes has to get back to the basics. The fundamentals, whether that be technique in the pocket. And I know it's so hard for these guys like Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes to get back to that, because they're so good, you know, off balance. And they're so good when they don't have great technique, because they're so talented with their arms and throwing with their core. But I think that affects a lot of the throws that he's making. And then I think the other part is sometimes you fall in love with those special plays, those big plays. He's made so many of them over the last couple years that you kind of feel like you can make every throw. And I believe that's getting him in trouble a little bit. Instead of allowing the defense to just dictate where to go with the football, sometimes he's saying, well, I can make every throw. I can do everything. So I'm going to push the ball down the field or throw into coverage because it usually works out for me. And it's gotten him in trouble a little bit as of late. So I think it's just go back, get back to the basics. We know how special he can be when he needs to be special, but he doesn't have to be special all the time. Just play the game the way it's supposed to be played, and I think they'll be just fine in Kansas City.
Sounds a lot like what I've been saying over the last couple of weeks. Be average every once in a while. It's okay to be average. It's okay to be vanilla. It's okay to be bland. You don't have to make every play a highlight reel type of play. You can just go out there and just, you know, drop back 7 steps and complete a pass for 7 yards over the middle. I mean, it's okay to hand the ball off every once in a while. It's okay to play the basics of football and just go out there and do the basic fundamentals. I don't necessarily have an issue with anything that Kurt Warner is saying there. Now, like, I'm not concerned about Patrick Mahomes or anything like that because of two games he hasn't played all that well and the numbers haven't been where they needed to be. I think the last game they kind of played that complimentary football. I mean, they had such a big lead early on against the Raiders. You didn't really need to put up all kinds of numbers. But I understand what he's saying. Like, every play seemingly has to be a highlight reel play. And that's what was frustrating me with the Colts and the Texans and, you know, that middle part of the season. They were trying to make a highlight reel play all the time. They're great at the amazing. They're really bad at doing the average.
Yes and no, because he's also saying that's trouble sometimes for guys like Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes to, you know, set their feet and because they throw so well off. Yeah, because that's their game.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what wasn't Kurt Warner's game.
Sure.
So they don't play like Kurt Warner. So you're not going to take away their game. Their mm-hmm. specific skill set allows them to do things that, frankly, Kurt Warner, you couldn't.
Right. But sometimes you try to do too much and you do get yourself in trouble.
I don't
trouble.
Disagree with that. But also, what makes these guys great is because they do something different than some other quarterbacks mm-hmm. do. So I think you have to be careful in that and not take away their game. But we have seen the Chiefs do some different things. More stuff under center this year. Those types of things to play a little bit different type of football than that kind of air raid, whatever we want to call last year, that looked more so like a college offense than maybe a quote unquote pro offense. So I think we've seen some tweaks in that. But yeah, I think that was always going to be the knock right on Patrick Mahomes. I mean, it was totally going to be mm-hmm. until he had a 50 touchdown MVP season.
Correct.
It was going to be, hey, you need to get better at the basics and hang in the pocket and throw the football and do all those things. So anytime there was going to be a little like step back or perceived step back, you knew that was going to be the reaction. For somebody.
Yeah, I didn't even realize he was having a step back over these last couple of games, though, until, like, Kurt Warner started to point it out. And you know, others have kind of mentioned it this week as well.
I think
like, what's happened to Patrick Mahomes over the last 2 weeks?
I think Romo did blame the wind a lot the other day.
The wind was brutal, Josh.
It was significant.
It was, apparently. Yes.
So he was saying that, but he's like, well, that's a play Mahomes normally makes. And I think we've seen a few more of those than we did last year. I don't think it's necessarily a step back, but you expected every play to be completed last year.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Every wild throw and whatever he's going to end up. He's had some this year where, again, I'm not going to get geeky with like the pro football focus stats where they should have been picked balls.
Yeah.
I've seen more should have been picked footballs thrown this year from Patrick Mahomes than we did last year.
I'll tell you, the defense against Kansas City does a really good job of dropping a lot of interceptions. You know, like they've done a pretty good job of dropping, you know, a lot of interceptions.
Because there's a few of those where you go, whoa, why is he throwing that?
But I will say this, though.
I think I've seen more of those types of plays this year than we did a season ago. But again, that's part of his game. You're going to take you're going to take some of the mistakes to get some of the wow too. And I'm not gonna you know, clamp down on his game to satisfy a we're going to make him into a pocket passer who's robotic and throws down. That's not his game, man.
And also in Patrick's defense, the offensive line hasn't been healthy all year long. You really don't have a running back. And really the only person you can truly rely on every down to catch the ball is Tyreek Hill.
Yes.
You can't rely on Travis Kelce to catch the ball.
Although, you know, Hill did have that bad drop in.
One drop in 2 years.
Hit him in the face. So he's everybody's kind of prone to that. He's your most reliable target. There's no question of that. Kurt Warner also a bit concerned, though, about the Patriots.
I'm concerned about him. I mean, we're already into week 13, and we haven't seen it start to come together yet. And, you know, as you were hearing Tom talk there, what I'm hearing from him is that he just doesn't know what to trust at this point in time. You know, when I go back and watch the film, there's times where I see him getting off things too quickly, and then guys are coming open, but he's off of them because he's not sure if they're going to get open. There's other times where he gets caught on guys too long, waiting for them to get open when he should be moving to the next read. And so I just think there's a lot of frustration because right now Tom doesn't know what he can count on. And when you go through the course of the game and you're not sure and you're trying to figure it out while you're trying to get into the rhythm of the game or while you're trying to make plays when you're playing from behind, it's leading to a lot of frustration. But we're this far into this thing. I don't know at what point they can all just settle in and think that it's going to get better.
Kurt Warner, NFL Network.
Boy, just the consternation with these people around the Patriots right now.
Is this the season where it doesn't get better? You've heard that like time and time again this week.
A lot of people are talking about it.
Different people like, normally the Patriots figure it out. Is this the year they don't figure it out?
Right.
and they look really, really mortal on offense, and they don't ever get it together. Where Tom is frustrated. Tom doesn't trust.
Right.
He's not finding playmakers.
Tom needs to get over that, too.
It may be the year.
Tom needs to get over that, too.
Yes, because the pouty's only going to last so long.
I miss Gronk.
Flipping the helmet and the yelling.
Well, you know what? I miss Tony Gonzalez, too. What's your point?
That's only going to last so long.
Right. It really is. Eventually, people are going to go, all right, dude, seriously, grow up.
Yeah.
This is who you got. You're the goat. Make them better like you have over the years. And I will say this, 100%, I've not heard Tom Brady once say, I'm not playing well because Gronk's not here. Everybody else is saying
correct,
this.
Correct.
So I don't know if that's necessarily Tom's mindset, but if he's still in that mindset of he can't get past Gronk not being there, then retire because you got to get that out of your mind. You got to do something else. You can't continue to sit there and fret that Gronk is not around. But I think it's everybody else.
I do too. Yeah. I think it's everybody else's problem, not necessarily his.
Right.
Or at least his thinking.
Right. Like, no, that's exactly how I feel, too.
Frank in Spring Hill, winner of the Flying Horse Tap Room gift pack. That was our 7 o'clock hour prize just for listening. Ben Maller, Fox Sports Radio, drops by for his weekly visit. He'll tell us that the Patriots are dead. Next.
Fesco in the morning.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.